Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. I had to miss three shows last week, Tony. Did you miss me?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You were out?
Oh, wow. Really? I look that much like
out?
Pablo now, really?
No, it's not that you look like Pablo, but we've done the show for so long that it doesn't matter who's sitting there. It's you. In my head,
it's you. I was down.
Everything is written for
out. Out. I was out.
Well, you're better now.
Out of it. I'm all right.
But you're better now.
Yes, I am.
A lot better now. Welcome to PTI,
baby.
Boys and girls. In today's episode, LeBron passes 40,000. Caitlin Clark passes Pete Maravich, and the Celtics are rolling. But we begin today with the Broncos notifying Russell Wilson that they will be releasing him after the league year begins on March 13th. This move seemed inevitable since head coach Sean Payton sat Wilson for the last two games of last season. The Broncos gave up three players and five draft picks to get Wilson, including two first-rounders, and he leaves the team with a record of 11-19 and $85 million in dead cap money. Wilbon, where does Wilson go from here, and where does Sean Payton go from here?
Let me just say this first, Tony. I'm just glad the Broncos look stupid. I'm glad they look like just dumb for giving up all that draft capital and all that money and getting – I love when NFL teams – get it wrong to this degree. Because they go to their analytics department and they scout, and they tell you exactly why they got to have this guy. Here's why we're making this move. And a half dozen people go on every channel and tell you why it's so smart, and they look like fools. I love that. Now, Russell Wilson wasn't even that bad. The numbers, Tony, the touchdowns, the interceptions, he just wasn't that bad. His team wasn't any good. He wasn't great enough to overcome a bad defense and special teams and maybe some stupid coaching. He wasn't. And Russell Wilson's no longer the great player he was when he got Seattle to successive Super Bowls. But you could use him. He's serviceable. I'd still take him over a lot of a team like Pittsburgh. What do they got? A team like Atlanta. What do they got? He's still better than probably half of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL today. So it leaves him with a market. Somebody will, and you don't have to pay him. You can bring him in as a backup to help your new bonus baby if you want. So it leaves Russell Wilson in a decent spot. Is he going to reclaim what we thought was Hall of Fame greatness? Tone, maybe not. But he can work. He can.
Yeah. He doesn't have to get paid by the new team because Denver is on the hook to Russell Wilson for $39 million this year.
So great.
And Denver is on the hook for $50 million next year in dead cap money. It's one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL to give up all those draft picks and to give up all this money to somebody who you don't want. Now, you can't blame Sean Payton for this. This happened before he got there. This happened when Nathaniel Hackett was in his single season or part of his single season with the Denver Broncos. You and I differ a little bit on Russell Wilson. He's 35 now. I think there's diminished skills there.
There is,
but you're right
skills.
About the numbers. 26 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions last year. It didn't work. And I have to tell you, I thought it would work for this reason,
Me
Mike.
Too.
Because Russell Wilson's about the same size as Drew Brees. And I thought Sean Payton would make it happen. But it didn't happen. It's a disaster.
It
I agree
is.
With you. Russell Wilson, at his age, he doesn't have a whole lot of years left. I agree with you about Pittsburgh. I agree with you about Atlanta because they could be playoff teams. Pittsburgh was a playoff team. There are other teams out there that need quarterbacks like the Giants, the Patriots, Washington, Tennessee, maybe the Raiders. But the others, they got high draft picks. And everybody's got new coaches and new systems, so I don't know. Let's move. Let's move to the NBA, where the Celtics crushed the Warriors yesterday by 52 points, even without Kristaps Porzingis playing. This followed a 28-point win over Dallas on Friday night. The Celtics are 48-12, best in the NBA, and they have won 11 games in a row. So, Wilbon, what are we looking at with these Celtics?
Tony, you know, I started thinking about this yesterday, and let me give you some credit. Because earlier on, you were less skeptical about their moves over the summer than I. Particularly Porzingis, because he played like 5 games, it seemed, here in Washington. Well, I wasn't doubting his skill. I was doubting his availability. He'd been available enough, even though he's missed some games lately, and we still don't know about the playoffs. But, Tony, they remind me. I'm not going to say they look as good as. They remind me of the 86 Celtics. And you know that is one of the great teams of all time.
Really?
Tony, the 86 Celtics, as you know, Tony, they pulverized people. And these guys, because Jason Tatum at his best is an MVP. He is. And maybe this is his year for that. And Jaylen Brown at his best is a $300 million player, which is saying something. And Drew Holiday, does he not remind you a little bit of Dennis Johnson? He does to me. And I know they got rid of Keith Smart and I hated it, but they got Drew Holiday. They had a correcting move. So maybe 86 is going too far because there's no Bird McHale Parrish thing, but they look like today they're that good. Two things worry me about the Celtics. I hate their complete dependence on three-pointers when they have players who don't need to be that. And the Eastern Conference does not test them through no fault of their own. No Embiid, Milwaukee's reshaping itself. Nobody else is up to it. Knicks are hurt. Denver, I still think, is the class of the league. But, Tony, they look like an unstoppable freight train.
Yeah, just a couple of small corrections. It's not Keith Smart.
What'd I say?
It's Marcus Smart.
Oh, Marcus.
Keith Smart went to Indiana.
Keith Smart, we're going back further.
And the other correction, the other correction is when you said 1986, and I thought they had the greatest front court in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
And if there's any knock on these Celtics, it's they're pretty small. So, I mean, I'm thinking, wow, 86.
Now.
And they had a, 86, with those three guys. And I think Bill Walton coming off the bench.
Yes, Walton
6'11
or
whatever. Anyway, let me just say this. What are we looking at? We're looking at a great basketball team, as I've told you all year.
You did.
I want to give you a couple of numbers. These are not analytics, Mike.
Okay.
In these last 11 games that they've won, they've outscored their opponents by an average of 22.1 points.
That's the 86
That is,
Celtics.
In a streak of 10 or more victories,
right.
The highest ever in the NBA.
Come on now.
Okay, in the last 6 games, it's 29.8 points, including 250-pointers. That is, in a streak of 6, the highest point differential in the history of the NBA. Now, maybe they're getting hot now, and maybe they'll cool off.
Right.
And do I think they have to win the championship to justify everything? Yes, I do. But when you talk about the threes, I'll just get to this for a second.
Okay.
They take the most, they make the most.
Right now.
You can get knocked out of the playoffs if you go cold. I understand that. But they are like Iowa and they with Caitlin Clark, and they are like Golden State because they're not looking to shut you down. They're looking to outscore you in bunches.
Yeah.
But, Mike, they allow the fourth fewest points in the NBA, and they have the second-best defensive rating.
Yes.
So they're doing it. They're doing
they
it on
are.
Both sides, Mike. You call them a freight train. I agree, and I've been on them since the beginning of the year.
I tip my cap, as they say, as everybody says.
Thank you.
It's early.
Thank you.
It's early, huh? We had two basketball milestones this weekend, as you know, Tony. LeBron became the first NBA player to reach 40,000 points, and the aforementioned Caitlin Clark passed Pistol Pete Maravich for the most points in college basketball history. She now has 3,600 plus. Tone, did LeBron or did Clark achieve this weekend's most significant mark?
I am going to quibble honestly with the word significant.
Yeah.
These numbers are very impressive and they're awesome. I'm not certain that they are significant. LeBron James, 40,000 is a number. He already had the most points. 40,000 is just a number. And do you want me, Mike, do you want me to sit here and talk about the fact that Kareem played 4 years of college basketball, and if he could have at the time gone directly into the NBA from high school, and he was physically ready to do that, how many points he would have had? Caitlin Clark's great. I watched. I've been watching all year. She's wonderful. It's a perilous road we go down when we compare women to men in sports.
Yeah.
Pete Maravich averaged over 40 points a game in his 3 varsity seasons at LSU, and that was without a 3-point shot. The only way that I would compare them is in their styles, and Caitlin Clark passes first, like Maravich did. Her assists are, they're great, considering they need her to score so much. She leads the country in points and assists. Come on, who does that? So that's my hot take on both those numbers.
Tony, we agree completely. Caitlin Clark's greatness doesn't need to be tied to somebody else. Stop comparing Pete Maravich and Caitlin Clark. The only comparison I told you on your podcast this morning was Pete Maravich's greatness did not convey to the professional level at the same rate. It didn't. I hope that Caitlin Clark's does, but we don't know yet. You got to wait and see. The pros are the pros, and college is college. Her greatness, though, does not need to be compared to anybody else. You want to compare, by the way, the mark that mattered is when she passed Lynette Woodard. When finally people stopped saying NCAA record, this lazy garbage people were doing for weeks on end. And the same thing with LeBron. The points don't matter. LeBron passed Kareem a year and a month ago. Enough with the points.
Yeah.
So every time they're going to stop a game because he gets to 45,000, 50, 52. Yeah. Stop. This is the tyranny of numbers that we are stuck with
because of people's obsession
with analytics.
The most important thing about LeBron James is that at 39 years old, he's scoring 25 points. He has 8 assists and 7 rebounds a game at 39 years old. He's still a great basketball player and has been for 21 years in the league.
Some stupid made-up milestone. LeBron's greater than that. He didn't need that.
Let's take a break. Coming up, should the MLS have protected its players from the snow?
That was so stupid. And a surprising team snaps mighty Oklahoma softball winning streak.
You know,
the numbers.
I hope Caitlin Clark has a career like Diana Taurasi, who I think is the greatest woman player of all time.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First. All without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Smell that?
No.
It's a scent of emails from the great unwashed.
Oh,
let me get the first one in here.
Don't insult the viewers like that.
LAFC's coach had a problem with his team's game against Real Salt Lake being played in the snow. Did you?
Yes. Yes, this is stupid. All right? I realize it may not have been snowing when they took the pitch, but how long does it take to see what's going on? There was a lightning delay at one point. They delayed the start of the game. Almost 2 hours? Come on. Somebody should have picked up the phone in New York or wherever the headquarters for this league is and said, if you don't stop this, we're going to fire everybody there who let this game go on. This isn't good for fans, the players, the sport, the product. This is just dumb. We delay it till tomorrow or next week or postpone it. We're not having this. Somebody could get seriously injured. Stop it or else.
When they took the pitch, did you actually say that, Mr. Soccer?
Yes.
When they took the pitch. Here, my feeling about snow games in any sport is you can have them in any sport you want as long as I don't have to play in them and I don't have to sit through them. They probably should not have played this. The conditions were brutal, and those loons are out there running around in shorts, right? I mean, but you know what, Mike? The most highly rated NFL games are the snow games. Yeah. And the MLS was prepared for this because they had the special orange ball. I understand that the Los Angeles coach sat on his chair with a wet blanket to warm him and said he couldn't see the last 20 minutes. But, Mike, this is what happens when you start a league in late February or early March and you have a franchise in Utah.
Yes.
It snows. This is what happens. If you don't want that, move all the teams to Levitard's house.
No, just schedule the games honestly, when they're supposed to be played. They're not supposed to be played now.
Honestly.
It's just dumb. It looks stupid.
I'm saying it's Utah. Yeah. It's a ski resort, for God's sakes. How do you explain Oklahoma softball getting their 71-game winning streak snapped by a team that was under 500?
Okay, first of all, the question is bogus because it doesn't take into account the context. There's context to everything. Louisiana Lafayette, the team in question here, they lost a bunch of games this year already. But, Tony, they were just in, and by just in I mean late last spring, something called the Super Regionals with 50 wins. They were a worthy opponent a minute and a half ago. So don't tell me that they're all of a sudden the 1961 Mets, or was it the 62 Mets, you would know, because they weren't. They're not that. And so to paint them as that and to say 62. Oklahoma somehow, you know, crashed and burned because they lost this game, it's not fair because it ignores what everybody ignores now, context.
Yeah, 62, can't anyone here play this game? Look, can I explain this? No, I can't explain it, but all streaks end at some point. This is 71 games. That's really a lot. If they get a rematch in this game down the road, Oklahoma's won three straight national championships, so I'm going to bet the over pretty heavily, and I'm going to bet Oklahoma. UConn women won 111 in a row. And they lost. Everybody loses at some point. It's just one game. You know, and as you say, Louisiana Lafayette had won 50 games last year.
Don't taint the opponent.
So they're a good team.
Don't do that.
No, you know, I mean, the only time that there was one of these upsets that a lot of people predicted, and I'm going back a long way, you'll remember, was when UCLA was beaten in South Bend by Notre Dame and Digger Phelps.
Yep.
And that was the one where people said that could happen.
So great.
Enough email. Let's take one last break, but still to come, another Scott Boras client makes a deal. One-year deal.
Tony, Scott Boras clients, they just having a tougher late winter than we suspected. And with Mike Evans back, is Baker Mayfield the next to re-up with the Buccaneers? Tony, those snowstorm winds out west, those things reached 180
in California. But if you have a team in Utah and you play in March, what do you think's going to happen?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 34th birthday, Draymond Green. Doesn't it feel like Draymond is on double secret probation?
Probably
and if
is.
He has one more violent outburst, he'll be banished from the NBA, maybe forever. To be fair, Draymond has now gone weeks without being suspended. And the Warriors are way better since his reinstatement. Draymond has been first or second all-defensive team 8 of the last 9 seasons. His offensive stats aren't much. They never were. He scores 9 points a game, but he gets 7 rebounds and 6 assists, and he shoots over 50% from the field. He's a 4-time champion, a 4-time All-Star. He's the quintessential glue guy, except, of course, when he becomes unglued.
All true, Tony, but the numbers don't tell the story of his impact. And one of the things I try to explain to my son, the young basketball player, all the time is, Draymond Green's intelligence, his intellect, is so impactful. Talking to guys after games, as you and I have done for a combination of about 100 years, there's rarely been anybody as cool to talk to as Draymond Green, to sit around for an hour and talk about the game, why this happened, why that didn't happen. And he doesn't need analytics to be analytical. He just tells you what happens, and his insight is unbelievable. That's the value of Draymond Green.
Happy anniversary, Russell Westbrook. On this day 9 years ago, when Westbrook was on Oklahoma City, he became the first player since Michael Jordan to have four consecutive triple-doubles and the first since Jordan to have back-to-back triple-doubles with at least 40 points. Westbrook had a career-high 49 points and 16 rebounds and added 10 assists as OKC beat Philadelphia. Now, Westbrook has had leaner seasons recently. He's on the Clippers, but will be out for weeks with a broken left hand. Westbrook volunteered to come off the bench after the arrival of James Harden. He's averaging 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 4.4 assists in almost 23 minutes a game. Since Westbrook started coming off the bench, the Clippers are 36-13.
The Clippers, Tony, have a chance, maybe the only chance in the West, to unseat Denver, but they need Russell Westbrook. Nobody's tougher. Nobody's more determined. Can't imagine who could be more motivated in Southern California late in his career to win a championship, not even James Harden, as Russell Westbrook. The Clippers need him. I hope he gets back soon and remains healthy.
A melancholy trails Chris Mortensen. The award-winning football writer died yesterday at 72. Mort started his sports writing career in his native California, but became known nationally for his work at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. There he won the prestigious George Polk Award for investigative journalism. Mort joined ESPN in 1991, becoming one of the first sports writers to work full-time for the television network and setting a standard there for journalism. Mort became a familiar, authoritative presence on ESPN's variety of football shows. The Pro Football Writers of America honored him in 2016 with the Dick McCann Award. Mort stepped away from this role with ESPN last year to focus on his health, and he leaves behind a well-earned reputation as a terrific reporter and a cherished friend.
Tony, people watching this show and this network are going to associate Mort almost certainly with pro football. Mort got into this business for the same reasons you and I did, to cover baseball, which he did early in his career. I didn't know Mort at that point, but I knew him when he was at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We're both covering college football and college sports. And Mort could cover anything at any time and do one hell of a job. Because before people became specialists, they were sports writers, a term that's almost gone now. And Mort embodied that. And it's just hearing this news yesterday was just saddening. I've been in press boxes with Mort all of my professional life, and yes, we miss him.
Well said. Let's go to the big finish. Mike Evans reached a deal with Tampa Bay for 2 years and $52 million. Good for both sides?
It should be, Tony. And Baker Mayfield, who the Bucs will, I guess, hope to keep, may look around and say, you know what? I like throwing to him, the guy going to the Hall of Fame. Jason Kelce officially announced his retirement today with a particularly eloquent goodbye. Your thoughts?
Think Evans is going to the Hall of Fame. Jason Kelce is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
U.S. women beat Colombia 3-0 in a Gold Cup quarterfinal. You impressed?
Tony, I'd really be impressed if they can win the next game, Wednesday night, against reigning Olympic champion Canada. That would be impressive. Third baseman Matt Chapman, 3 years, $54 million, signed to the Giants with opt-outs after every season. Is that a good deal?
We'll be back in free agency after the season. Last one, the first conference tournament tips off tonight. Are you excited?
The Atlantic Sun, I am. I like the elimination games. I know you do too, Tony. Let's see if March Madness can give us something the rest of the men's basketball season has not.
Give us Binghamton in the America East. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on.